pray. Father, we are dependent upon you, even when we don't see that is true. Help us to see that is true. And we pray this morning, Father, as we open up this this ancient book, your word, that you would, through your Spirit, open our eyes to see wondrous things in your word. We pray that you would work in us, Father, what is pleasing to you, that we might live lives worthy of the calling we've received in your Son, to the praise and glory of your name. Amen. Bill, if you could just put up the Bible reading from before, just from verse 9. I just want to read that again. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, or watch out, watch yourselves, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather to the people that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. Lest we forget, right? They're well-known words in the Australian vocabulary. Probably most of us here have heard them. Some of us probably heard them a lot of times in our life. In fact, very recently we had a public holiday where these words, they're used all the time. Lest we forget. And the purpose of that public holiday, at least in theory, I suppose, is that we would remember those Australians, those Anzacs, who gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today, not just the Australian ones. The Ode of Remembrance is recited at remembrance services in Britain and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, which many of you will know well. I'm going to read it. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning we will remember them. And then we say, lest we forget. Meaning, so that we don't forget, is the purpose. The purpose of that day of remembrance is lest we forget. A remembrance of past events that affect our present reality, right? In fact, interestingly, the words lest we forget were taken from a poem from 1897, and these words were originally referring to God. I'll just read you that poem. It's very short. God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. And we have these words from Deuteronomy, lest you forget. Which is probably exactly where this poet gets these words from, in fact. I think there's a certain irony in that, I certainly think there is, that a nation who remembers those who have died for us uses a phrase to do so that is in fact referring to the God that by and large our nation has forgotten. I think that's a bit ironic. Sadly ironic. Israel were reminded, weren't they, over and over again, as we read through this book of Deuteronomy, this is not the only occasion. They're reminded of who their God is and what he has done. Here is the new generation of Israel. They're on the verge of the promised land. The old generation, you might remember, has died off because of their disobedience, their distrust of God continually over and over again. And Moses is here on the verge of the promised land with the people of God. He's not going to enter. That's another story. But here he is recapping, he's retelling, he's explaining their history and the law that God has given. He's telling them how God had rescued them from this harsh and oppressive slavery in Egypt, and how God had defeated the nations that had come up against Israel, nations that were much stronger than Israel, we hear. And he says this only happened because it was God who fought for them. It was God who defeated these other nations, not Israel in their mighty strength. Israel had seen time and time again God's provision of food, his provision of defense, and the defeat of their enemies. But as many of us will remember, time and time again, they forgot. They neglected this truth, they turned away from it, and they turned away from following their good and faithful Savior God. They forgot who their God was, and they forgot what their God had done. 14 times in the book of Deuteronomy, this word remember is used, and 8 times the idea of not forgetting is used. It's a significant theme in this book. These are almost entirely, these references, almost entirely pointing Israel to God's past faithfulness or to their past unfaithfulness. So it's a big theme here. Chapter 4, a bit later on, from verse 23 says, "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God which he made with you and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And after the great Shema that Lee was praying this morning that we saw a little bit in that video, that love the Lord your God with your heart and your soul and your strength, after these wonderful words, just a few verses later, there's this great warning from God. We read there from verse 10, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land," that is the promised land, "that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget Yahweh, the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." It really is a sad book. It's a sad Old Testament, really, when we look at it from this angle, isn't it? Israel, this chosen people of God, they continually forget him over and over again. These warnings from Moses, from God, were, as it were, I suppose, premonitions, weren't they? Premonitions of exactly what they would do. "Don't do this," is almost, this is what's going to happen. In fact, that is why over and over again the Israelites were commanded, weren't they, to teach these things to the next generation. As we've been reading through the book, that's certainly come up over and over again. But in chapter 4, "Make them known to your children and your children's children." Just after that great command of love in verse 6, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, lest you forget." Because they did forget, didn't they? They did forget. They neglected enjoying God and so teaching about who he was and what he had done. In this book of Deuteronomy, as our video at the beginning alluded to, it leaves us with these significant questions that go unanswered from other parts of the Bible. Questions that we're longing to be resolved. And one of the greatest ones is, how will God transform the hearts of his people? How's God going to do this? Because even here in chapter 4, Moses already predicts, doesn't he? He knows that this people will forget, they'll choose not to obey God, and they're going to go back after other gods and they're going to go their own way. He knows that. But there's this picture even here that when they're taken off into exile in the future, when they're taken out of the promised land for their disobedience to God, if they seek after their God, they'll find him and he'll rescue them. Have a look at verse 29. "But from there, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them." This is us, isn't it? In ourselves, we forget. And this happens for a whole bunch of reasons, I think. Sometimes we forget because of legitimate mental incapacity. let's say like dementia. But this isn't what the passage is talking about, is it? This isn't what is going on here. We're talking about forgetfulness from the result of neglect or disobedience. So neglecting the truth, not remembering it, choosing not to remember it, choosing to disobey it. Forgetfulness because we did not seek to retain and remember the truth, or because we did not truly forget, but we just chose to disobey it. And the remedy given here is to teach one another, isn't it? Talk about it all the time. Make God's truth known every day. Make it a part of your day. This is what Moses says to the people. Here is where these things, I think, where things change for us as Christians looking at this passage. God's promise to circumcise his people's hearts, that is to transform their sinful hearts, to give them hearts that love him. That's the promise that we're given here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 says, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." The fullness of this promise has been seen, hasn't it, for us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. He came and he took that punishment for our sinfulness to God. He rose again and he gave his people, he gave us his Spirit, the very Spirit of God, to those who put their trust in Jesus, so that his people have those new hearts that these prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah were pointing to, that this whole book of Deuteronomy is crying out for. How do we love you, Lord? We're so sinful. But he gives us new hearts in his Spirit. He enables us to love him. This really is amazing. It's not about trying to come up with a love for God from within ourselves, but it's the work of God through Jesus to give his people the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to dwell in us, his people. That's God's promise. But here's where I believe that this passage, these truths in the opening chapters here in Deuteronomy, is still relevant for us as believers, followers of Jesus. I think it's still relevant because we still forget, don't we? We neglect the truth. We neglect to remember. We neglect to meditate on and teach our children and teach one another the truth, to speak about it all the time. We fail. I fail to remember who my God is and to remember what he has done. Far more than rescue from slavery in Egypt, our God has rescued us from our slavery to sin and death and eternal separation from him. Isn't that more than what they received? How could we forget this or neglect this or live as if this were not the case? How is that possible, we would think? And yet we do. I do. So what is the remedy for us? What's the remedy? What's the solution to our forgetfulness? Well, firstly, I want to say it's always his grace, isn't it? It's a Sunday school answer, but it's always true. Come back to the gospel. We're forgiven of our failure to remember or our neglect of the truth that leads us to worship and fruitful living. We're forgiven of that in Jesus. He came because we'll never get it perfect. The neglect of it which leads us to self-focus and living that is self-centered, when we neglect his truth. What's the remedy of our forgetfulness then? Well, firstly, his grace, his forgiveness, to know that we are loved. We are in Christ. God is not measuring our performance to see if we will have enough favor to get merit with him. We are righteous in Christ. So repent and know we're forgiven in Christ for our neglect of the truth. But, and this is where I see such a correlation here between this ancient book before Christ and us after Christ with the fullness of his promise in his Spirit. This is where I see the truth here. And I think Colossians actually ties this together. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let me see if this reminds you of anything we've just read. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the same idea, isn't it, that we've just been reading. Don't neglect the truth is the idea here. But rather live in the truth. Soak in the truth. Let it dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Teach it to one another. Sing about it. Be thankful for it. Even things we've seen already this morning in our time. Let the truth of God's word permeate your life. Let it flood every part of your life. The truth that gives birth to worship and fruitful living. And this is where I want to stop and say to us that you may have been told or not told, but you may have been told by someone or by everyone in your life, if you've grown up as a Christian, you should read your Bible every day. You need to do that. I'm telling you now. And that may have been said, right, for good purposes or for bad purposes. And this is what I mean, right? What I mean is that we can have this unhealthy view of the scriptures that almost if we open the Bible every day and read it, and even if it doesn't mean anything to us, that somehow magically that is beneficial to us. And even worse than that, that it actually gives us favor with God just to open the book. That's wrong. That's not what Paul had in mind. That's not what Moses had in mind. That's certainly not what Jesus had in mind about the scriptures. Really, there's a picture in Psalm 1, I think, of what this looks like. I come back to this passage a lot, but it's just a beautiful picture of what this looks like. Blessed is the man, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But listen to this, his delight, his treasure is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, if we look further. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, Yahweh, knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is a picture here, isn't it, of this psalm of someone who is daily meditating, and this is birthed out of a delight in God. This isn't about opening the book and having it magically do something for us. This is about a person who is broken before God and says, Lord, I need you every hour. This is about remembering who God is, isn't it? The glorious God, the holy God, the one who made the world, the one who in Jesus rescues people from sin and death and eternal separation from everything good. He does that. Opening his word gives us the opportunity to remember that. I need to remember that. The God who hears me when I pray. The God who loves us and calls us to enjoy him as our Father in heaven. The God who enables us through his Spirit to live and to serve one another in love. The God who emboldens us to reach the lost. The God who is mighty to save and able to do far more than we could ask or imagine. The God who blesses his people with his peace. Where's that from? His word. What fools we would be to neglect his word. And yet we do. I do. Lest we forget. That is why daily time in the word, prayer without ceasing, walking by the Spirit, that is why it's good. Because we need him. Because he is lovely. Because we need to remember. Because in forgetting, so much damage is done to us and others, isn't it? Haven't you seen that in your life? When you forget him and you hurt others, you speak foolishly, you think foolishly, you do foolishly. That's certainly my experience. I was thinking just as I was meditating on this week, and I wanted to share this as well because it just struck me how privileged we are. Do you realize how privileged we are? The Jews here, okay, in this community, they're looking at this book of Deuteronomy, they're hearing these words. They had nothing of what we had today. They had nothing of what we had. There's scrolls that are locked in a covenant, in the Ark of the Covenant, and they're probably taken out on Saturday, and everyone gathers together and they hear the word. Imagine this was the only time you could hear the Bible read. And so this idea here, and we'll look at it more next week, but with the Shema and about telling it to your children and writing it on your doorpost and having it everywhere, it actually makes more sense, doesn't it? Because literally they didn't have it. They didn't have a personal Bible. We think about our brothers and sisters overseas. Even today, you hear the stories of how they share pages of the Bible. They share books of the Bible amongst the church because they don't even have, they only have one Bible between the whole church. Imagine that. And our other brothers and sisters who are locked up and they don't have a Bible. And if they're found with a Bible, they're locked up. Do you realize the privilege that you have, that I have? We have our personal copies of the Bible. We have hundreds of copies in the English language, translations, I mean. We have the Bible Project there to watch online for free. And yet, I say it of me firstly, I neglect it. Isn't that just, wow. And it's not about feeling guilty. It's about realizing who he is. We are with no excuse for not reading and meditating on his word, except that it doesn't excite us enough. It doesn't excite me enough. I don't realize who I'm reading about and how much I need him. I think too, when we think about planting a church, we've talked about planting a church, haven't we? And we as a church, we've affirmed this, we've made this plaque here, we've said we're going to do this. We don't have all the details, we don't know where, we don't know who, we don't know when. But we do have the lacking, don't we? That's something we've got going for us. We have this lacking, we're small, we're weak, Lord. What a wonderful place to be in the hands of the living God. And it's here as we picked up the scriptures, isn't it? It's as we've been reminded of who our God is that we remember that his power is made perfect in our weakness. It's his word that's led us to truth and worship and fruitful living, even in not having details, maybe in especially not having details, because we trust who he is. We can be bold in moving forward in his leading, in what is seen as foolishness in our world's eyes, because we're not trusting our plans, we're not trusting a human view of things, but we're trusting his power, we're trusting his leading, we're trusting his goodness and his mighty salvation. We need not fear the future, we need not fear the unknown in this or in anything in our lives, because we need only to remember who he is. He is with us, the holy God who made the world. He sent his Son to prove his love for us, and he's given us his Spirit. Don't forget that. If God fights for us, then who can be against us? No one of any significance. If it is his undertaking, we need but stand by and watch him do more than we could ask or imagine. And I think already we've seen that. We've seen that. This amazing amount of trust he's given us. I've observed it in you. This peace he's given us. Not in the details of having church planting sorted. Not in overcoming all our sicknesses and troubles in our lives. Certainly not. But the peace that he's given us because he is in control. Because he is who he is. Because in remembering him, such joy is had and such glory is given. We are able to serve him as we remember him so well in our hearts. We're able to serve him and remember him when we see that it's only through Jesus that we are found. And it's only through his powerful Spirit that we can serve him. Let's not be like Israel. Let me encourage you. Let's not be like Israel, who forgot and forgot again who was with them, who had fought for them, who had delivered them, who'd brought them out, who'd brought them into a good land. And yet they forgot him. They turned from him. But let us be like Jesus, who always remembered, didn't he? He always remembered who was with him, his Father in heaven. He remembered what he had done. He remembered what he would do. He trusted him. He endured even the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. And so, like Jesus, let us remember who is with us. He is our God. He is our Father. And he is always good, lest we forget. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you have sent your Son to pay for our wrongdoing. Thank you that all our shame and guilt and filth has been covered by his death on our behalf. Thank you that Jesus is risen from the dead and that he is King over all. Father, thank you that you have given your people that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, that he lives in us. Help us, Father, to walk by him, meditating daily on your truth, delighting in your word, which is truth, lest we forget you, lest we forget your holiness and justice, lest we forget your mercy and love, lest we forget your lordship in Jesus over all things, lest we forget to trust you in all things, because you are faithful and you are working all things for our good. Father, give us a holy overflow of your goodness to one another and to all those that you've placed around us, that in remembering you, we might be a blessing to all that we come across. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.